fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. We're talking some Packers football this morning, as we do every morning. Monday, July 16, 2012. We are in the week before Packers training camp begins. So an exciting time here. Our title of today's episode, The Calm Before the Storm. I don't think your comments are being approved this morning. So if you want to participate in the discussion, you're going to have to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags Cheesehead TV. All those comments will pop up on the live blog, or feel free to use that handy dandy Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player there, just as Cheesehead Kevin did. Thanks, Kevin. Perhaps along the way your comments will be approved, but for the time being, tweet away. You know, it's the calm before the storm, but we can make a metaphorical storm today here in that we can discuss Aaron Rodgers' contract status. That'll make some waves, right? Just this past Friday, Drew Brees, the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints, came to an agreement with the aforementioned Saints on a new contract. Record deal being made here. Moolah. Lots and lots of moolah being made by Drew Brees. So, what it is a, this is the word on the street here. 5 years, $100 million, $60 million guaranteed, $40 million in the first year. I think this is, if I heard correct, the $60 million guaranteed that Drew Brees is getting is the most in NFL history. The $60 million guaranteed, not the entire contract. So, big time money. And of course, as you know, quarterbacks in the NFL are the highest paid players. You know, take a look at the list of the highest paid players in the NFL. Quarterbacks are at the very top. I mean, everybody knows the importance of the quarterback position, and it's, you know, how important and imperative it is to have good quarterback play in the NFL, and really at all levels of football, but especially the NFL. So it comes as no surprise that Drew Brees got paid a lot. I mean, this has been a long time coming, the discussion about, you know, when is this going to happen, and Saints fans getting paranoid, and of course with the whole Bountygate thing playing out in the background, got a lot of attention. Now, the question as it relates to the Packers is, how is this going to impact the next contract signed by Aaron Rodgers, as he still has, what, it's two more years or under contract, under his current contract, the last one he signed. So he's not going anywhere anytime soon. But as a guy who's relatively, comparatively underpaid compared to his other counterparts in the NFL, other quarterbacks, other players in general, Aaron Rodgers is, you know, going above and beyond what his contract is paying him. You know, he is far exceeding expectations, at least that of his prior contract. What was, I think we have 6 years, $65 million, $20 million guaranteed. Now, I realize at the time the Packers signed Aaron Rodgers to a contract, it was, you know, a fairly modest amount. They signed him to a contract extension mid-season after, I believe at the time, he had just 8 career NFL starts to his name, although a little bit of playing time in the seasons before that, but as a backup, remember, to Brett Favre. So the Packers really, and Aaron Rodgers, I think it was a fair deal for both sides. It was, you know, relatively modest for a guy who has had not yet proven himself in the NFL. But as time has gone on, it has proved to be a very favorable deal to the Packers to have your signal caller, the trigger puller, pulling in a, you know, again, relatively modest amount of money, a guy who has far outperformed what he's getting paid. So the question is, when are the Packers going to come to another contract extension with Aaron Rodgers? You know, some have speculated, including myself, that it could come any time. I mean, he is so far underpaid that even though he is under contract for two more seasons with the Packers, it's time to pony up and you know, make him satisfied and get him signed for the long term. Give him some security because he is so important to the offense of the Packers, the team as a whole. You know, having him happy and satisfied is going to make the team better, you would think. That is the line of thinking. That is my thinking. I'm sure it's shared by many. So, you know, I think what's going to happen is Aaron Rodgers is going to get a deal in this neighborhood. I'm not going to go sit here and guarantee he's going to get paid as much as Drew Brees or more, but somewhere in that realm. Who knows? Maybe he gives the Packers a little bit of a hometown discount if they go and do something like offer him a contract now with two seasons left, you know, so they're not waiting until his contract expires. So they're not waiting the last minute game and then fighting over pennies. Not that they would do that, but I mean, you know, fighting over, you know, really thousands or, you know, what it would take to come to what's fair, at least. So, there could be something like that happening where Aaron Rodgers does take a little bit of a discount. But, I mean, it's going to be in the realm of Drew Brees. Aaron Rodgers, with the next contract he signs, no matter when it happens, he is going to be one of the highest players, paid players in the NFL and one of the highest paid players in NFL history. You know, people have speculated, too, the Packers right now are millions of dollars under the salary cap for this season, you know, after cutting guys like Nick Collins, Chad Clifton. They got a little room to maneuver. So they can, if they wanted to, sign Aaron Rodgers. But of course, we've talked about this many times on Railbird Central. There's other players on the team whose contracts are expiring as well, including that of Greg Jennings this season, probably the guy, the highest profile player whose contract is expiring after the 2012 season, Greg Jennings. Maybe the next guy would be guard TJ Lang, although he certainly won't get paid in the same realm as Greg Jennings or Aaron Rodgers for that matter. In two seasons, linebacker Clay Matthews, defensive tackle B.J. Raji also have expiring contracts. And you know, of course, in addition to lesser profile players as well. So where these deals get done, it's anybody's guess. I really do feel that Greg Jennings will get done here perhaps before the start of the 2012 regular season. I don't know when that happens, if it happens. It could happen this week. It could happen next week before training camp starts. But maybe sometime during training camp before the 2012 season begins, I think you're going to see a contract extension for Greg Jennings. And then all the other players fall into line somewhere in the future. So that's where we're at. That's where we're headed. That's what I think is going to happen. And again, that's what I think is going to happen. I speak on behalf of nobody but myself. But feel free, if you want to chime in on what you think the Packers will do, what they should do, by all means, please tweet with the hashtags Railbird, the hashtags CheeseheadTV. All those comments will show up on our live blog. Again, your comments are not being approved this morning. I apologize. We're shorthanded today here at CheeseheadTV. So we're going the total Twitter route today. We're letting Twitter approve our comments for us. So tweet away, tweet with the Twitter widget underneath the broadcast players. Cheesehead Kevin did. Says new article at PF Pro Football Talk today. Packers are $11 million underneath the salary cap. So there you go. I mean, that's how much they can add to this year's cap. And by signing players to contract extensions, things like that, they can put money toward this season where they have room instead of toward future seasons where they want to, you know, earmark money in future years, things like that, player contracts coming up. Of course, the salary cap will only be going up in the future as well with more money pouring in the future from the NFL's new television contract. So that's something to look forward to as well, and things that will impact future contracts signed. Anyhow, if you look at this morning's Packers Daily Links, I got a link to it. If you scroll to the bottom right-hand corner of your browser of your page, you'll see the most current articles posted at Cheesehead TV, and I think the most current is the Daily Links that was published just an hour or so ago. The top story today has to do with Detroit Lions linebacker Stephen Tulloch and his reaction to recent comments made by wide receiver Greg Jennings made to the NFL Network's Total Access show. And I believe the hosts on that show that night were Warren Sapp and Lindsay. What's her last name? I forget. But anyhow, Greg Jennings, you know, he was asked about all the NFC North teams. What's the biggest question heading into camp? And, you know, what did he say? For the Minnesota Vikings, it's the health of Adrian Peterson. I don't even remember what he said about the Chicago Bears. But then Greg Jennings said about the Detroit Lions that they have to keep their composure. And, you know, it was a fairly innocuous statement. I mean, Greg Jennings spoke in general terms about keeping composure. He didn't really elaborate all that much. But anybody who follows the NFL and Packers football in particular, or Lions football for that matter, knows what he's talking about. I mean, here we go. I mean, the list is long, folks. I mean, let's go back to last season and Ndamukong Suh's stomp on the Green Bay Packers on Thanksgiving Day. An incident that received a lot of attention, to say the least. And that's on top of criticism of Ndamukong Suh putting late hits on players across the NFL. In addition to that, just recently, Lions head coach Jim Schwartz made some, took a shot at Packers head coach Mike McCarthy for his choice of using a mini camp day for a team building activity where the Packers went skeet shooting, clay pigeon shooting. And it happens every year. Mike McCarthy's been doing this for years, where he takes one day out of the whole year during the off season, nonetheless, to do team building. They've gone bowling. They've played dodgeball, paintball shooting. They've done numerous other things. They've gone golfing. You name it. That's what the Packers have done in the past. But, you know, Jim Schwartz saying the offseason's too important to waste a day. So taking a shot at Mike McCarthy. In addition to Jim Schwartz getting into a heated argument with Jim Harbaugh during a 49ers-Lions game as well. You've got the six arrests this offseason alone among four Lions players. Everything from DUI to marijuana possession, getting caught doing these illegal activities. And on top of that, wide receiver Titus Young taking a cheap shot, punching a teammate. Was it in the locker room? I'll admit, I do not know where the cheap shot took place, or that I remember it being reported at the time weeks ago. There you go. There's your litany, your list of Lions not able to keep their composure, not able to take the high road, not able to perhaps do the right thing. Does Greg Jennings have a point? Yeah, I think so. I think he said it in about as nice of terms as possible. He wasn't exactly going out on a limb by saying the Lions need to keep their composure. But Stephen Tulloch took exception. Stephen Tulloch took to Twitter, as I used a lot of alliteration this morning, and said, who is Greg Jennings to comment about the Lions? Stick to your own team. Something along those lines. I am paraphrasing. Yeah, and it just comes off as petty, knowing what the Lions have gone through, what they've done. And it wouldn't be so bad, like, if Greg Jennings, like, you know, himself, like, unprovoked just said this on his own Twitter account or, you know, said something like that, it would be one thing. He was a guest of the NFL Network, and they asked him the most important question for every team in the NFC North. They asked him his opinion. It's not like Greg Jennings was just spouting off on Twitter, something like that. No, he was asked his opinion. But apparently he can't say anything about Lions keeping their composure, no matter how relevant it may be. I don't know if Stephen Tulloch is just in La La Land, in fantasy land, doesn't want to believe they have problems, have issues on the Lions. Better wake up and smell the coffee. You got some issues there. Things that can be overcome with good play, certainly, with a good solid record, and things they're building on. Certainly, the Lions organization's heading in the right direction. Nobody's going to doubt that. But you know, take it for what it is, Steven. It wasn't a shot at your team. It was, you know, very vague analysis of what's happened in Detroit, and it's spot on. So there you go. With the rest of the time we have on today's episode, speaking of, you know, wide receiver Greg Jennings, we're continuing our wide receiver, well, our positional breakdown of every position on the Packers roster today, breaking down the wide receivers here on Railbird Central, and I think we'll get to Wednesday with the tight ends. But yeah, you know, let's talk a little wide receivers here, breaking down every position, probably the deepest position on the entire Packers roster. I don't think I'm going out on a limb by saying that. The position is led by Greg Jennings, a two-time Pro Bowler, a guy who has played at a high level for several seasons, a guy who is a good guy on and off the field, despite what Stephen Tulloch may think. And, I mean, he's the Packers' number one wide receiver. Yes, last year he was supplanted statistically by Jordy Nelson. But remember, Greg Jennings missed three games, I believe the last three regular season games, due to injury, a preventative measure, something that they didn't want to get worse. What was it that went wrong? Was it his knee? I mean, it wasn't like a torn ACL or anything. You know, Greg Jennings having a little bit of health issues, but came back in the playoffs. Nothing serious, nothing that should linger into the season. And as long as Greg Jennings stays healthy, you have to imagine he's going to regain the number one wide receiver spot. Amazing route runner, among the best in the NFL. You know, he's a guy who probably, I think, is the best speed threat on the team to get deep, at least. You know, And certainly a guy like Jordy Nelson has that ability too, and I'd imagine Randall Cobb does too. But I mean, when you combine everything, just Greg Jennings' height advantage over a guy like Randall Cobb, his speed, his strength, his route running ability, that all combined makes him the biggest threat on the team, I think, as a receiver, in my opinion. Not to say that could change. And Greg Jennings is at the peak of his physical career. I mean, he is entering the prime of his career. His best years are going to be right now in the NFL, these next few years. And they've probably been going on for a while. And maybe that prime is going to end in a season or two. But right now, he's still got it. And I don't want to say they're going to end in a season or two. I'm not predicting that. But, you know, I'm just saying maybe it happens. Let's hope not, by all means. The number two wide receiver, Jordy Nelson, a guy who basically vaulted himself into the number two wide receiver job last year. You know, he's really started to explode onto a national scene with his performance during the Super Bowl XLV against the Pittsburgh Steelers, which he had like, what, nine catches, over 150 yards, something like that. Could have been more had he not dropped a ball or two in the Super Bowl as well. But regardless, you know, had a really just explode onto the scene, continued that performance into 2011, in which he led the team in receptions, yards, average yards per catch, touchdowns, 15 touchdowns, over 1,200 yards. Fantastic job. Jordy Nelson's doing great. One of the most underrated wide receivers in the league, I think. You know, and there's no better combo of Greg Jennings and Jordy Nelson right now, I don't think. You know, they both can do it all. They're so good, so versatile, so, you know, can line up anywhere. Amazing. Now, after that, you've got, you know, Donald Driver. I'm not sure whether you call him the number three wide receiver. I don't know where he is in the, you know, pecking order of the Packers anymore. Maybe he ends up lower, but he's a guy who's a former number one wide receiver, a former three-time Pro Bowler. I mean, he's been to three Pro Bowls. I don't know, say former. Could say that about any player, I guess. But Donald Driver, I mean, everybody knows, kind of know him. If you didn't know him before this offseason, you got to know him through Dancing with the Stars. Another good guy on and off the field, a leader on the team, the Packers postseason captain last year. You know, here's a guy who's is short but has great leaping ability, has done a lot of his production from the slot, but still has the ability to play on the perimeter, the exterior of the field, a guy who can take a licking and keep on ticking. You know, that's Donald Driver. I don't know. He may slide down the pecking order in favor of somebody like a Randall Cobb, the up-and-coming version of Donald Driver, a guy who showed what he's got last year on kick and punt returns, saw a little bit of time on offense, and, you know, made an impact there as well. But, you know, last year he was the Packers' number four or five wide receiver. This year could be as high as the number three. A guy who will get a lot of playing time in the slot, a guy who has a lot of explosive ability, can make plays in space. You know, that's what the Packers have with Randall Cobb, and guy who could break out this year. I wouldn't doubt it at all if he did. Or is the number three wide receiver a guy like James Jones, a guy who's endured a fair amount of criticism over the years, partially because of a little bit of a salty personality. You know, James Jones seems to be, he feels like he's disrespected a lot. And, you know, maybe that is true to an extent, but he always seems a little bit sour, if you ask me. His attitude is like that, which kind of rubs me the wrong way a little bit. But still. He does a lot of good things as well. I mean, just in terms of personality, he is a good person. Has his own James Jones Foundation, which he does a lot. Runs youth camps, grants wishes to kids, you name it. So, I mean, he does an incredible amount of great things. But The best thing he's got going for him is his strength. He's known as the yards after a catch guy. He does that perhaps better than any player on the team and among the best in the NFL. You know, perhaps not the most well-rounded wide receiver, not the fastest guy, but he's got that going for him and can really help the Packers out in that regard. A strong possession receiver, a guy who's had issues with drops in the past, but, you know, not like, you know, they were especially evident during the 2010 season, but less so last year and even less so seasons before that. You know, there are issues, but maybe not a huge issue with James Jones. You know, where he falls into the pecking order, and really between Jones, Driver, Cobb, who knows where they all fit in. They're all up there competing for the number 4 or 5, 3, 4, 5 wide receiver spots on the Packers. Another question is whether the Packers will keep 6. Some have even speculated 7 wide receivers this year. I don't see the Packers keeping 7, but I could see them keeping 6 certainly this year. I think they will keep 6 no matter what. The two guys on the fringe, on the bubble, fighting for those spots are wide receivers Torrey Gurley and DeAndre Burrell. I think the edge goes to Torrey Gurley because of his size, as the tallest wide receiver on the Packers roster, 6'4". He is the type of guy you can use as a red zone target, jump balls in the end zone, things like that. I think he brings that to the Packers. Was kept on their practice squad last year. Both him and Burrell, as you'll remember, were offered contracts by other NFL teams to join their 53-man roster late in the year. Both decided to end the year with the Packers, with the year almost done. Packers gave him a raise to stick around. It was really an amazing situation and one that you don't see very often. The Packers think highly of both of them. Nobody's counting out DeAndre Burrell. Here's a guy who was a college quarterback at Utah State, has made the transition. The Packers obviously think a lot about his ability to keep him on the entire practice squad last year, to give him that raise, to stick around. So, you know, as long as he can continue to develop, there's a chance he can stick around as well. Now, I don't think the Packers go and keep 7 wide receivers this year, but again, you never know how injuries play out. I mean, is there a chance between now and the start of the regular season that one of those aforementioned top 6 wide receivers, the top 6 in my opinion, get injured and DeAndre Burrell does stick around? Yeah, that's a possibility. Not exactly a far-fetched one either. So in that way, you know, it's the Packers could keep 7 if you know, one of them's on injured reserve, and then the Packers do keep around DeAndre Burrell. Beyond that, the Packers just have a couple undrafted guys. Among them, I think wide receiver Dale Moss kind of got the most attention this offseason, as he was a former basketball player at San Diego State. South Dakota State. Was it South Dakota or South Dakota State? I think South Dakota State. A former basketball player turned football player. A lot of potential, loads of talent. Be interesting to see what he's got in store during training camp. So that is very interesting. But who else do the Packers have? They have Jarrett Boykin, a wide receiver from Virginia Tech. If I'm correct, one of the leading wide receivers in Virginia Tech history. So that's interesting. And then on top of that, the wide receiver from Nebraska, the undrafted guy who they brought in for a tryout, ended up signing him to their roster, their offseason 90-man roster. And I don't even know how to pronounce his name. It's something like Kerensky Gillian. And I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong. He is certainly a long shot, to say the least, to make the Packers roster. But, you know, he'll get his chance in training camp just like everybody else, and who knows. I mean, these are guys, the undrafted guys, the last three guys I mentioned, were fighting for practice squad spots. Every year, the Packers keep at least one wide receiver on the roster, if not two, on their practice squad. I mean, it's like a shoo-in, guaranteed. They're going to keep a wide receiver on the practice squad, at least one. So one of these guys is going to have a job in the NFL. Maybe not on the 53-man roster yet, but I mean, it'll be just like last year. I mean, with guys like Torrey Gurley, DeAndre Burrell, develop them, stick around. Maybe they perform in the future. Maybe they're a future part of this team and worth keeping an eye on for that reason. There you go. There's your 10-minute wide receiver preview. Ran through those guys pretty quick, really. That's where we're at with the wide receivers. And on Wednesday, our next episode of Railbird Central, we'll take a peek at the tight ends. So, you know, thanks everybody for joining us here on a Monday morning as you start off your work week. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate it, as I always do. Hope you get something out of this show, as I know I love doing it. We'll be back. Of course, we air every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, so next show on Wednesday. On behalf of everybody at Cheesehead TV, thanks for joining us. And, you know, as I always say, stick around for your Packers news coverage all week long at Cheesehead TV as well. Have a good week, everyone. Have a good Monday. We'll see you once again later on at a later date here at Cheesehead TV. I leave you today with a song called Freaker by the Speaker, by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. We'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.